We have a lot to talk to this guy about this morning. We have been in contact really since shortly after the fires began. He is Keith Woods, the CEO of North Coast Builders Exchange. Keith, good to have you back this morning.
Pat, good to talk to you.
About 5,000 subjects, that's what I've got to cover with you this morning. Do you mind?
Go ahead.
Well, when last we spoke, last week, you said that you thought at this stage of the game, this week, that there may be some new numbers, some new information coming out with regard to our recovery and how it's literally going.
Yeah, if there are any new numbers, a part of it will be encouraging, and that is, more and more people are settling their insurance numbers. The properties that needed debris removal are done. All these are positives. I do see some numbers that scare me a little bit, and that's the number of people that look like they might be making a decision to either pull up stakes or sell their lot and just do something else.
And yeah, and that's a huge part of this equation, and that's for sure.
Yeah, I spoke to the Sonoma County Board of Supervisors yesterday. They had a day-long housing workshop that was excellent, except for my part. They were really good and focused, and I told them there are really two themes here in Sonoma County. Sonoma Strong, which gives us all a sense of pride, but it's also Sonoma Undecided. Pat, we got a lot of contractors that don't know if they're going to be able to help in the rebuild. We got a lot of property owners that are undecided. Do I stay or do I go? And that needs to get decided as we move ahead.
Yeah. And is there any kind of a drop dead date on this, so to speak, in terms of when contractors are going to be able to say yay or nay, we're in?
Nothing has a drop-dead date, except for, I guess, some people only have 2 years of covered temporary housing, so they're a little bit panicky about that. But we continue, as I think I've told you, to survey our hundreds and hundreds of contractors, say, to ask them, can you help or can't you? And fortunately, we're probably at 80 to 100 contractors, general contractors, who have said, you know what, I can take on 1 to 10 homes over the next 5 years, or I can handle 20 homes. So they're at the ready to start building once people are ready to start building.
Well, you were at the Board of Supervisors meeting yesterday, and when you heard 30,000 homes built or rebuilt in 5 years, what did you think?
I thought to myself, wow, I sure wish I lived in their world. It sounds like such a wonderful place
to be. It truly does.
You know, Pat, I'm a great fan of setting ambitious goals, of thinking big, et cetera. But then I take a giant reality pill, which I advocate to anyone, and say, wait a minute, even if we wanted 30,000, if that's our goal, and if the community is cheering 30,000, we don't have the contractors, the man and woman power, the capacity to do this. So setting a goal is one thing, but make it a hope, not an expectation.
Okay, so this seems completely outside the realm of possibility. And we're not talking about the political or the financial ramifications for homeowners even. We're talking about the availability of workers, right?
Yeah, Pat, I don't want to take on the role of, wet blanket here. Let's go for the 30,000. That's a number we need. We're playing catch-up from before the fires when we had this incredible pent-up demand for more housing. So I think that's an identifiable number that we need it. It's only the 5 years that I raise a cautionary flag and say, wait a minute, there really aren't enough people able to build them. Now, we make it into modular homes, lofts, multifamily.
Yeah.
It might be possible to house a lot of people, but if people think of 30,000 new individual 1,500 square foot, 3-bedroom, 2-bath homes, I think it's a lofty goal. How's that?
Well, I think that's being kind. And was there anything else that surprised you at the supervisors' meeting yesterday with regard to this issue?
No. I had seen the agenda ahead of time. I had 10 minutes just to kind of give them a sense of what's happening in the construction world, where everybody wants to help, ready to go. I guess I was surprised at how committed all five supervisors are. I knew they've demonstrated that they're good public servants.
Yes.
But, I mean, they are laser-focused, particularly the board chair, James Gore, are really focused on making some things happen. At one point, there was somebody mentioned, well, we're going to analyze and study this. And Chairman Gore said, no, I'm tired of study. I'm tired of analysis. I want action. And I walked away thinking, boy, these people are committed to try to make things happen, not just talk about having things happen.
And that's got to be the way it has to be, because,
absolutely,
you know, that's the immediate dire circumstance that we find ourselves in. But still, you know, all the good grace in the world and all the heavy handedness and all this, you know, trying to add, to get to those kinds of goals doesn't mean a thing if it ain't got those workers.
No, you're absolutely, pardon me, leftover cold. You're absolutely right. And we can do all the hoping we want, but there just aren't the workers to make it happen. I've heard a number over and over that we need 17,000 new construction workers for the rebuild. Well, wait a minute. That assumes it's 100% rebuild. And frankly, what I hear happening is as many as 30% or more of the fire victims' properties are going to be put up for sale.
Wow. Well, hold on just a second, because that is an extraordinary figure. 30%, one-third, you're saying that you're hearing, of the folks who lost their homes could, you know, just relocate.
And that might be light as a number. If you were not Lake County, our friends over in Lake County, it's a different market in over the hills here. But out of 1,400 lost properties over there almost 3 years ago, they've had maybe a third permits pulled and homes underway. So there are a lot of people that have to make a decision. Will insurance cover my rebuild? Do I really want to wait 2 and 3 years or more to get it rebuilt? Was I ready to downsize my home anyway? There are a lot of decisions people have to make, and a lot of those decisions are leading toward selling the lot and buying either somewhere else in the area or renting or heading off somewhere else.
Wow.
That's very much a thought process underway right now.
That's a very sobering fact or sobering figure, that 30%. I hope you're wrong, frankly.
Yeah, but can I offset that with some good news?
Oh, yes, please.
It's not going to mean like we've just got pockets with empty lots and all. What's going to happen is either builders or others will buy those lots and fully intend to build a home. And as a number of builders have told me, the homes may not be for those who chose or economically couldn't rebuild. They'll build a new home to meet that pent-up demand for housing that existed before October 8th.
Yeah.
So the neighborhoods will be rebuilt, and it might provide some opportunities for those who couldn't buy a house on October 7th. In the years ahead, may see new homes popping up all through Sonoma County and the North Bank.
Well, that is a piece of good news. Yeah, and I think inevitably it's going to have at least something to do with the density of the housing that is going to be built or rebuilt. That's for sure. It is 9:15 at KSRO on the phone with Keith Woods, who's been on us since the fires, talking about the rebuilding efforts. Since we're talking housing, you have to mention this story that came out in the Press Democrat this morning about the Santa Rosa contractor who is in trouble or could be in trouble for providing a free place for his workers to live in trailers on his property, his private property. And he's being told by the city that there's a deadline. And as of next week, he could be facing up to $10,000 in fines. So as we talk about, you know, the shortage of workers and also the efforts of both the city and the county to do as much as they can in this whole effort, here we've got a guy who's, you know, trying to put his workers up for the night because they can't get hotel rooms and things like that. And $10,000 a day, that's a hefty fine.
Awfully hefty fine. That gets up into radio pay, for goodness sake.
You're so right about that.
You know what? This issue, it's always something. And here's an issue that pops up. well, we've got conflict between what the city government and the rules may think is good for the community versus what the community actually is going to need as part of the rebuilding process. I've not talked to Michael Wolf, who's
the contractor involved
in this, nor have I talked to the city. But at some point, this better get resolved soon, and there's got to be some way that maybe for certain areas, for a certain amount of time, they relax the rules or bend them a little bit to allow worker staff someplace to stay, because the city and the county can't have it both ways.
That's right.
They can't want a rapid rebuild and not be prepared to be flexible. Now, if it's health issues, safety issues, I'm on the city side. If it's just it's a rule, we got to follow it, I think they ought to examine it.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And, you know, one more note, of course, on Monday, the terrible accident in northern Santa Rosa with the debris truck. And we don't know the precise why of it yet, but so many cars involved, fire, smoke, all the things we hate to see. And it all happened. And there are 750 of those debris trucks in Sonoma County, according to the Army Corps of Engineers.
Yeah, I don't think people realize, though. I was told those trucks go through safety and brake inspections, I believe, at least once a week. So I don't want anybody to get overly riled or concerned about it. This is, I hope, an aberration of one truck going downhill, loses its brakes. If there's more of it than that occurs, then we got a real problem. But I kind of think this is the exception and not the rule. And most of these people do operate pretty safely.
Yeah, and with 750 trucks on the road back and forth every day, and I mean every day of the week, and the law of averages says that something like this could very well happen. Thank God there was no loss of life involved.
You're right, Pat, and it hadn't occurred to me until our discussion here, but Fountain Grove doesn't get any hillier or steeper than that in
that's
Sonoma
for sure.
County. And I don't think you'll see this in Coffee Park, but at 15 tons, whatever they were carrying, rolling downhill, that's a real strain on even a car, its brakes, and a big, heavy truck. I'm not surprised it happened. I just hope there's no more of that ahead.
Yeah, we hope so, too. Well, Keith, as always, we will stay in touch. And between you and me, I think we can definitely make sure that people are doing what they say they want to do.
Yeah. And, Pat, I always forget, where do I send my bill for my time with you here? I always lose track of that.
Just deduct it from my $10,000 a day paycheck, would you?
You got it. I'll
okay.
do it.
All right, Keith, we'll talk to you soon. That is Keith Woods, the CEO of the North Coast Builders Exchange.